because ultimately that's what impacts the students. And when we are really trying to have a student-centered focus, which is really important to me, then we can't have that if we have so much turnover. Ultimately, we want the kids to benefit from continued services and that continuity in their teams that are working with them.
Hello there, and welcome to today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. If we haven't met before, my name is Monica Burns. I'm a former New York City public school teacher, and I've been out of the classroom for a few years, leading professional development for educators and writing about all things EdTech on my blog, classtechtips.com. You might be used to joining me on Tuesdays for new episodes of the podcast, but today I have something special for you. It's a bonus episode in partnership with BlazerWorks, and I'm excited to bring you another special bonus episode this fall on a Friday in addition to our regular Tuesday episodes. Before we jump in, a quick reminder, you can head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast for all of the show notes and resources from today's conversation. And if you're listening to this episode on a podcast player like Apple Podcasts or Spotify, you should see a link in the description. You can click on it as you're listening today, and it'll take you to all of the resources I mentioned. This episode is sponsored by BlazerWorks, a special education advisory service provider with over 3 decades of experience in the education industry. BlazerWorks' mission is to elevate special education in the United States by providing advisory services and support to districts and school-based professionals. Today's episode is titled Attracting and Retaining Special Education Professionals, a bonus episode with BlazerWorks. Now, this is a topic that I'm so excited to explore today with Erin Hoganson, the Special Education Advisor at BlazerWorks. For those of you who have followed along with me for a while or have connected with me in person at an event, you might know that I taught elementary school, upper elementary school, for several years. So this topic of retaining and attracting special education professionals is definitely one that's near and dear to my heart with an elementary mindset. But we know, of course, this is something that schools and districts throughout K-12 struggle with. So I was excited to chat with Erin about this topic, some of the tech connections that they use to address their goals. And I think that you'll find this conversation provides different tips and strategies that you might take into your own practice as well. Let's jump into the conversation. Welcome to the podcast. I am so excited to chat with you today all about this idea of helping school districts attract and retain those hard to fill positions, right? Special education positions specifically. So as we get ready to talk about that topic, would first love for you to share a bit about your role in education. What does your day-to-day look like?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me today, Monica. I'm really excited to be on here and chatting with you. So I started my career as a paraprofessional, and I did that for about 8 years, and I thought I wanted to become a special education teacher, and then I shifted to school psychology, because it meshed my love of psychology with working with kids, but also I was at a point where I wanted to maybe take it further at some point. So I went that route. And then through that time, I worked with a variety of ages, preschool to post-secondary, a lot of different populations. And I definitely really found that love for elementary. So I stayed there for quite a long time and worked as a program specialist and a coordinator. So various roles throughout my time. And so I really got to see a lot of different angles of working in special education. And yeah, here I am. I joined this team about a year ago, and I was excited for this opportunity to really be able to impact in education on such a broader scale, because I worked on one district in one area for a very long time. And this was an exciting opportunity for me to shift and support in a different way.
And your perspective, I would imagine, really informs all the conversations that you're having around this topic. And today we're talking about hard to fill special education positions.
But can you give us an overview of the current challenges school districts face in attracting and retaining special education professionals?
Absolutely. Years ago, when I first started, when I actually finished school and was getting ready to start my first school psych job, I remember applying for a job and a director in Southern California told me they had 45 applicants for that one particular job. Now we look around and we can't even fill multiple positions. There's a national shortage of school psychologists, and we're moving that way for speech pathologists and teachers. And we just see this huge impact that was happening prior to the pandemic, but then the pandemic hit and it's really just snowballed since then. And so our company helps attract and retain staff. And so as a special education advisory service, we help fill positions. Not only do we fill the positions, then our team provides support for them from kind of step one and really gives them the tools they need to be successful across their assignments, and then also that support they need. I'm sure we'll get into this a bit more, but I think the burnout and what we see, and there's a lack of feeling of support for many educators. And there's a variety of reasons why we're seeing staffing shortages, but our team is really working to help support kind of all along that process.
Yeah. And I would imagine there's lots of conversations that you and your team are having with school districts around this. What are some of the strategies you've shared with school districts to address staffing shortages and tight budgets to meet the needs of special education students and those professionals that support them?
Yeah, great question. There are many different things that we're helping with. And because we're a multidisciplinary team and we're supporting across the United States, we really get to see maybe what some states are doing that's been successful, and we can share that with other districts that we partner with. So really, sometimes it really starts with finding the right fit candidate for the right fit position. So we really will help our recruiters understand maybe the different terms and programming that are in schools, so that when they're talking to a candidate, they're able to give a candidate a real picture of, okay, you may walk into a classroom where kids are aggressive, or you may walk into a classroom where kids have significant medical needs. And so it really starts with that piece of kind of matching the right candidate to the right position, which helps the district retain that person and then hopefully continually keeps them to come back the next school year. And then we also really provide them with a high level of support. So really, we meet the candidate where they are. If that's just a phone call or a text message, that's okay. And then we have candidates who want to get on Zooms or even meet us in person. We're able to do that. Because we've expanded our team, we're across the U.S. There's 30 of us across the United States. So we can visit school districts to provide that support for candidates that sometimes really need that in-person connection. And then we can do that in a lot of different ways. We can do just a quick one-time support them with something, or we can do an ongoing mentorship, which we have seen a lot of our kind of new grads that came out of school during COVID really just need more support because now they're in it and it wasn't what they got out of school. So yeah, definitely a lot of support needed.
That's such a great point about the remote learning connection for those graduates who are coming in and maybe had a different kind of practicum experience than someone right in a different setting or a different couple years of going through their schooling. And as you were talking there, just imagining all the ways that you're leveraging technology to foster those connections, right? It's so wonderful when you have the chance to be in person or side by side or shoulder to shoulder, right? As we sometimes say, for that support, but then the ability to have that text messaging, to have those Zoom or video conferences, even like we're talking today, right? Mm-hmm. That's just, it's wild to think about how that support has shifted so greatly just in the past decade, let alone the past few years for educators.
Absolutely. I would say primarily we do a lot of Zooming with our candidates and our school districts. So we are also creating and presenting professional development for school districts. And it is pretty amazing that we can present via Zoom and really be able to support so many districts. In one day, we may support multiple districts across the United States with that technology.
Yeah, it's just so important for the scale, right, of the great work that you all do. And can talk a bit about the impact here, right? We might scale all that support, but we know that the impact that turnover can have, especially in these specific roles, that impact they can have on students is significant. And what does it look like? Can you talk about the impact of turnover in these specific roles on the students and that overall special education program?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And when we look at the statistics of things, there are almost half of schools across the United States can report a shortage of some sort. And the districts that are lucky to fill their positions may not be able to retain those staff members. So it is such a huge impact. We are able to also be creative and help a district figure out maybe they need two SLPs, but if we can staff it with an SLP and a SLPA, an SLPA, then we can hopefully help them at least bridge that gap for now while we still work to try to help them find the SLPs that they're looking for. There's also really some interesting things that districts out there are doing. I just met with a district this week that they're building housing for their teachers to really attract and retain. And I feel districts have to really start to shift their thinking and be more creative. And because it is, as we talk about all these openings, you're a teacher, you could go get a job at multiple districts. And so it's really challenging and really competitive in that space. And so I think districts have to really think ahead to scholarships or incentives, partnering with universities, thinking about caseload versus workload. And what does that look like? And are there other ways that we can support maybe with administrative support or clerical support to take some of those pieces off of a provider's plate? So we really love to get in there and work with a district and problem solve and figure out, okay, what are your unique needs? What can we, you know, highlight about your district to bring people in? And then what can we do to keep them here? Because ultimately, that's what impacts the students. And when we are really trying to have a student-centered focus, which is really important to me, then we can't have that if we have so much turnover. Ultimately, we want the kids to benefit from continued services and that continuity in their teams that are working with them.
Those interrupted services, right? A lot of people moving in and out of roles, right? For some of the reasons that you talked about already, right? Even getting someone there in the first place could be really tough, right? You might have openings in the community you currently live in, but even as you are talking about the housing component, right? That creative thinking to say, how can we set up everyone for success that we're bringing in or attracting those quality candidates? And there are, it sounds like, a lot of creative conversations happening in places that have unique needs that might be different than a school somewhere else. And yeah, just making sure that everyone is able to get in there, if you will, so that turnover isn't happening at quite the same rate.
Absolutely. And another kind of thing that just popped into my mind, our company does have a teletherapy component, a whole department or brand that does teletherapy. And so sometimes that's a really great option for a district that's remote. Or I spoke to a California district earlier this year that they're in the mountains and not everybody wants to live in the mountains. Definitely trying to be creative with some of the areas that districts are seeing maybe people moving out of their state. Mm-hmm. And so they can still have access to high quality providers using that technology component. So I think it's really just our work we do is really digging into what the unique need is and then helping them be really creative with filling the gaps.
Yeah, and we've talked about the impact here of what turnover can mean, some strategies that schools and districts can think about. But when someone comes, right, when they are able to bring someone in, what are some of the common reasons a special education professional might leave? And how can districts address these issues proactively, which I think sometimes, right, we're always reactive in lots of ways. But, you know, if they can anticipate that there may be something that causes someone to choose to leave, how can a district address these issues proactively?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I think it's really a very layered question and answer. I think when districts are facing staffing shortages, oftentimes the other members of those teams end up taking on more of a workload. So it's just a negative cycle that perpetuates itself. So definitely trying to get people in and get those positions filled, but then also really helping to give them support once they're place in a school. I think many previously staffing agencies were seen as a last resort. And now that really has had to shift for districts. And so I feel that us being able to provide that support and working with the district and helping them really blend into the current existing staff is a really big component of keeping people there and keeping them happy. And then also that ongoing support we provide them. Sometimes they just need an ear to vent to. It's just having that level of support that maybe they can decompress. And maybe it's about a colleague situation or they don't feel like they have someone that they can vent it out to. We end up doing a lot of that as well. And then again, that helping to really find that right match. And if a person doesn't have experience with a specific population, then that's our job as well to really give them resources to help them. Okay, so you're shifting from, you've been an SLP in a hospital setting and now you're going to shift to a school setting. So what supports can we give in terms of learning IEP processes and just how a school system works so differently than a clinic maybe? And so I think there's a lot of kind of different layers of support. And also really, we love to focus on self-care and that wellness component because that work-life balance, I think, is a huge reason why we've seen so many people leave education. That's something I've been really proud of to be part of creating professional development for educators and administrators. And this summer, we hosted a conference and we presented to administrators on self-care for themselves, but also how do they support their staff members in feeling good in their workspace? It's education is an extremely challenging place to work. But if you have support, I think that for me, that's the biggest thing, really just helping our people to feel like they have support and not just feel it in a really be there and be available to them. So if they text us midday, then we can respond to them. And that's really exciting. That's part of our job to get to support in that way.
And just that community, that sense of belonging we know is so important. And it can be something that is part of what's happening early on, right? That doesn't always work well when it's reactive, right? It doesn't feel as authentic if we're not proactive about those commitments, right? To fostering that community and having those regular check-ins for support. And you mentioned, Erin, professional development, right? The conference that you just hosted. I think about professional development in so much of my day. Just earlier today, as we were recording, I was on with a group of educators virtually, right? Hosting a webinar. It's a big part of the work that I do and think about. And I'm curious, what is the role that professional development can play, not just in attracting, but also retaining special education staff?
Absolutely. It's huge. And I think for educators who are, as we talked about, really coming out of that pandemic time in grad school recently, their experience was so different. And children are very different now after the pandemic, right? So really being able to help provide, not just creating something for a district that's customizable to them, but also then being there to give the hands-on, walking them through things after we present something. So we're not just one and done. We present and then we can come back. We can even go into a school and model things that we are teaching. And so I think really for me, that component of creating content, but then also delivering it in a way that is ongoing. And again, continually providing resources and things are constantly changing. I'm really excited to share so many of your resources with my team because we really are always trying to find new things to get out to our candidates and our school districts. And so there's definitely so much out there, but it's when you're in the zone of stress and I can't manage this and all those things, you're not able to seek resources in the same way. And so that's what we're there for. Yeah.
And just this idea of leveraging digital spaces to help foster that. It's different now than it would have been a decade or two ago, right? That ease that everyone has to click on the link someone sent them or to check out this resource and to have that, you know, level of communication and resource sharing, I think is such a great complement to what we're talking about today in terms of professional development and that support. And again, being proactive, right? Retaining the people, the great people that you have. So would love for you to tell us more about BlazerWorks and the work that you do.
Yeah, absolutely. So BlazerWorks is a special education advisory service. We partner with school districts across the United States to support with their staffing and then also are part of the group is the special education advisory team. So we have a multidisciplinary team of educators. So we have school psychs, BCBAs, special ed teachers, SLPs, OTs, an AT specialist, an AAC specialist. We really tried to build a very diverse team to support our educators that are out across the United States, and then also support the districts that we partner with. And so we are also able to support if a district that we partner with has a staff member who's struggling, even if they're not a candidate of ours, we can support them as well, which I think is really, our goal is really just to take some of that off of the plate of the school district directors and program specialists and people that are really involved in, traditionally involved in supporting the candidates and the teachers. And so that's one big component of what we are aiming to do. We're visiting school districts. So I've been a part of many school district visits across the United States. We are almost to 500 visits for the year, our team, which is really exciting considering we're a pretty new team. And so really we go and we meet with the school district and we find out how are our candidates doing, what they need support with, what's unique really to their state, their county, their city. Every district across the U.S. has just different challenges and different strengths. And so we really then come in and try to be creative and help solve or resolve some of the situations and difficulties that they are seeing. And there are many commonalities across the U.S., of course, but every district is unique. And so it's been really great to just to learn about so many districts. And then, as I shared earlier, taking some of that information and maybe bringing it to a district in another state. Have you thought about this solution? Have you thought about this creative way to fund something maybe? Or as I mentioned earlier, kind of caseload versus workload, and that looks different everywhere, but then we can bridge that gap and help support in that different way.
So this has just been such a great conversation, Erin, for getting everyone thinking on not just the filling piece or finding and attracting great staff members, but also the retention component. So both of those going hand in hand with all of the supports that you all offer. And I will, of course, make sure to link out so anyone listening can find you, can connect with the team and all of that. But for someone who might be on the go, walking around, listening in, making that mental a bookmark, Tell people, where can they connect with you and learn more about your work?
Absolutely, yes. So we have a website, blazerworks.com, but we are also on Instagram and LinkedIn and Facebook. So a lot of the different social media outlets. And we actually, again, as I said, we create professional development. So you may see us posting at conferences or webinars. And then also we do write some blogs and some of those things. So we definitely try to get that out on like our LinkedIn and a website platforms for sure.
I will make sure to link out so anyone listening today can click, learn more, write in the show notes, all the information. Thank you so much, Erin, for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me, Monica. I appreciate it.
Thank you for tuning in to this informative conversation with Erin from BlazerWorks. Let's finish up this episode like we always do with a few key points to make this EdTech easy. Create a sense of belonging in your school community. Look for ways to be proactive to address educator needs. Use tech tools like messaging and video conferencing to support educators. Examine the role professional development can play. Remember, you can find the show notes and the full list of resources from today's episode by going to classtechtips.com/podcast and finding all the ways to connect with the team at BlazerWorks too. Again, a big thank you to our sponsor for this episode, BlazerWorks. To learn more about BlazerWorks, please visit www.blazerworks.com. If you're listening to today's bonus episode of the Easy EdTech podcast on your favorite podcast player, maybe it's Apple Podcasts or Spotify, don't forget to hit the follow button. It's totally free to follow along. And when you do follow, then the podcast episodes, each one that comes out every week, will download for you automatically so you don't miss a thing. And if you're feeling extra helpful today, if you have an extra moment, please leave a rating or review of the podcast. It helps other people who are searching for topics like education, ed tech, or even special ed find episodes like this one.